Psalm 62, turn in your Bibles, please, to the 62nd Psalm, page 628 in your Schofield Reference Bible. We'll be reading responsively the first 8 verses of Psalm 62.
And let's stand, please, as we always do for the reading of the Word of God. Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. The 2nd and 6th verses are the text verses. And let's pray. Father, we praise thee and give thee thanks for this day. Thank you for remembrances of the old time days and the old time gospel. Thank you that this church stands for the gospel as preached through the centuries as it was given in thy word. We pray that you'd bless now in this service in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen.
I finished preaching this morning and the invitation is over. We're going to close the service by honoring our shut-ins. A few of them are here this morning, and those who are not normally here. And you fellows on the platform, be sure to remind me of that, if you would, please. We have them, and they're our special guests, and we're going to honor them. And also, Maxine, I want you to get their names also and address this to Mrs. McKinney, because we want to put their names on a nice Bible also. Years ago, when we had old-fashioned day, we'd bring in an older preacher to preach. And I recall one year we had Dr. R.G. Lee. One year we had Dr. Bob Jones, Sr. Many years ago. One year we had Dr. Charles Weigel. One year Dr. Jacob Gartenhouse. And one of the things about it now, we don't have to bring in a senior citizen to preach. We have our own built-in senior citizen preacher now. And what is that way you remove warts? I've forgotten again. Spit on them? Now this morning, I'm sure that God is pleased because we're happy. But I want to leave with you this morning what I think is one of the great secrets of the Christian life. We're not going to, I'm using a text that I have used, that we have made reference to at least, and have used in not too far past. The 62nd Psalm, don't turn to it, I want to read you two verses. They're exactly alike except one word. Listen to this. He only is my rock. This is in verse 2 of the 62nd Psalm. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Now, 6 verses later, as I've called your attention before, it says, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Now, those verses are exactly alike, except one word. In verse 2, the word greatly is added. I shall not be greatly moved. In verse 6, it's dropped. I shall not be moved. I want to talk to you this morning for a while, and I want to tell you what I believe is one of the most important, and this message is so simple that you'll wonder why I preached it. And yet, the truth of it and the aid, it's so practically profound that you'll wonder why you haven't thought of it before. If you haven't, I want to speak this morning on the subject, doubt, tell it, believe, yell it. Doubt, tell it. Believe, yell it. And it comes from these two verses. Bearing in mind now that verse number 2, the psalmist gives exact words as in verse number 6, except one word is dropped in verse 6. Verse 2 says, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. Verse 6 says, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. Verse 2 is closes with this, I shall not be greatly moved. Verse 6 closes, I shall not be moved. Something happened, as I mentioned before in this pulpit. Something happened between verse 2 and verse 6. In verse 2 he said, He's my rock. He's the rock of my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. And then in verse 6 he says, I shall not be moved. He took the word greatly out and left it alone. Father, bless the brief message and the great truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Now just, this will probably be the shortest sermon you've ever heard me preach. But it is by all means not the least important sermon. So everybody, for just a few minutes, focus your attention right here. No one looking around, no one talking, no one writing, everybody looking right at me. The psalmist said in verse 2, I shall not be greatly moved. Then he goes on down in the verses following, talking about the goodness of God and the strength of God. And then he says in verse 6, I shall not be moved. Now something happened between verse 2 and verse 6. More faith was generated between verse 2 and verse 6. There was a little question mark in verse 2. I shall not be greatly moved. In other words, I might be moved, but I won't be greatly moved. But down in verse number 6, he said, I shall not move at all. No way. Greatly or slightly, I shall not be moved at all. Now, he climbed from trembling confidence to matchless assurance. You'll read the psalm carefully and you'll find that the song of the singer gained courage for him as he spoke. And as he told others, his faith increased. What a great truth. Reminding others reminds myself. Now, I'm going to testify for a few minutes. So listen as I testify about several little things that I do that help me. I guarantee you, they'll help you too. Follow me carefully. I cannot see the way. I notice that you, too, cannot see the way. But I remind you that there is a way. I then believe that there is a way. Because as I reminded you there is a way, I too was strengthened as I told it that there was a way. So I help you find your way, and then I find my way. Let me say it again. I cannot see the way. I notice that you cannot see the way. I remind you there is a way. I then also believe there is a way. I help you find your way, and I find my way. That's exactly what it means in Revelation 12:11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. If there's something in the Bible, for example, that you sort of believe, well, you believe it. But somehow you cannot apply it to your life. Then you take somebody else who has the same problem and you convince them that God has the answer to their problem. And by your talking about it, you convince yourself. Look, you'd be amazed how much more faith I have after I preach than before I preach sometimes. Why, you'd be shocked. The best thing that happened to me, and by I was thinking a while ago, I forgot Mother wasn't here while you notice that. I started to ask Mother something, and just instinctively, and then ask Earlene. And that reminds me, it's wonderful to have an older sister that can take the place of your mother. But you know what helped me when Mother died? The greatest thing that happened to me when Mother died, is that I had another funeral between Mama's death and Mama's funeral. I'm not sure I could have preached my mother's funeral sermon without totally breaking down. But we had a dear lady in our church, Mrs. Sensabaugh, went to heaven, and we had her service on Saturday morning. Mother passed away on Thursday. Saturday morning, I preached a funeral. Mother's body was in the casket. And in reminding Mother Sensabaugh that God was strong, I was strengthened. And reminding Brother Sensabaugh that God was good, God became better to me. You know, that's one reason why the Lord says, tell it, tell it, tell about it. I mean, I'm going to talk about it. Do you doubt? Then tell it. Then you believe? Then yell it. But you see, we do not have so much because we do not tell. And from the very telling, the psalmist said, he said, I shall not be greatly moved. Then he talked about how good God was and how good God was and how good God was. And in just four more verses, he took the word greatly out, and he, by his own testimony of the goodness and greatness of God, said, I shall not be moved. What was it? He was strengthened by his attempt to strengthen somebody else. I cannot bear my burden. I see you have a burden. So I remind you that God will bear your burden. I then believe that God will bear my burden. God lifts your burden, and God lifts my burden. If you have a burden this morning that you won't lift it, you look for somebody else who has the same burden, and you just take the Word of God and convince them that God will lift their burden. And I'll guarantee you that the very, very convincing on your part of them will convince you that God will bear your burden also. Is there a heavy load on you this morning? Don't sit around and feel sorry for yourself. Don't sit around with pity pains. Don't sit around with self-pity. Find somebody who has the same burden, the same problem, the same heartache, and you go to them and say, hey, I've got the answer for you. And you take the Bible and you show them from the Word of God, yes, Jesus will bear your burden. And I'll guarantee you that you'll convince yourself as well as them. You say, preacher, I don't want somebody's doubting preaching to me. Then nobody's going to preach to you. Because in every bit of faith, there's also doubt. I preached that the other morning. Lord, I believe, said the man in Mark 9. He said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Remember the story about the Hebrew children? They said, we're not going to bow down and worship the golden image. We're not going to do it. He said, they said, okay, we'll put you in the fire furnace. And they said, our God will deliver us. But if he doesn't, we're still not going to do it. You see that faith? Our God will. That's the faith. But if he doesn't, there's the doubt. And brother, I'll guarantee you that your doubt will turn to faith if you talk it. Tell it. The psalmist was singing a song here. And he said, I shall not be greatly moved. And he kept on and saying, God is good, and God is good, and God is good. And then the psalmist said, I shall not move. Why? His very singing convinced him. That's one reason why I sing a lot. That and the fact that God has given me such a good voice. But that's one reason I sing a lot. Did you know that you guys, you sailors, what's the Navy song? Anchors Away, yeah. Man, you got many, not you guys, I'm talking about the brave ones. But listen, I'll guarantee you, many a sailor was scared to death. And all of a sudden, boy, they start marching to the ship to go to the battle. And boy, the band start playing, Anchors Away, my boys, anchors. Boy, you could charge him with a squirt gun in 5 minutes after that. And every Marine here knows it. The halls of Montezuma, the shores of Tampa. And boy, there's something about it. It puts a... Years ago, when I was a paratrooper, you've heard me tell the first half of the story. You haven't heard me tell the last. I was on my first jump. Little boy right in front of me is a black boy, supposed to jump first. He backed out. He had more sense than I did. He backed out. They stood me in the door of that plane. While the field was circling, While the plane was circling the field, I was standing in the door waiting for it to get around. And a little guy behind me punched me on the shoulder, a fellow named Johnson from Trinity, Texas. And this I told you. I looked around and he was crying. He was absolutely tears streaming down his cheeks. And he looked up at me and made me the best offer in my life. He said, "Jack, I won't jump if you won't." Listen, I was scared to death. And anybody that's jump happy is crazy. Crazy. I was literally scared to death. He said, "I won't jump if you won't." And I turned around and said, "Johnson, man, these parachutes never fail." I didn't believe it, but I said it. And I said, "Johnson, everything's going to be all right. We're going to make it." I said, "Look, Johnson, in just a matter of a few seconds, we're going to be..." But anyway, in a matter of a few seconds, I said, "Johnson, we're going to be on the ground." He said, "Well, shape at the end." But I said, "This is one of those days that it's not going to work out, folks. It's just not." I said, "We're going to be on." I said, "Johnson, in a few minutes, a few seconds, we're going to be looking up, the parachute open, we're going to be floating down, and I'll wave at you, and in a few seconds, we're going to be on a field picking our parachutes back up and talking about how much fun it was." I said, "Now, Johnson, man, there's nothing to it." You know, by the time I got through convincing him there's nothing to it, I was still scared to death. No, it strengthened me. It did. In fact, I'm not sure but what that made me jump. Because I was giving him strength. Folks, there is strength received when strength is given. There is faith received when faith is given. And the psalmist said, "I shall not be greatly moved." And then he said, after four verses of singing, he said, "I shall not be moved." Why? He'd been singing about the goodness of God. I have some doubt. I notice you have some doubts. I remind you that God gives assurance. I then believe that God will give me assurance. I lead you to assurance. I then gain my assurance. I am very weak. I see that you also are weak. I tell you of God's strength. I then believe God's strength. God gives you strength. God gives me strength. I have a problem that seems unsolvable. I notice you have a problem that seems unsolvable. I remind you that God can solve your problem. I then believe that God can solve my problem. God does solve your problem, and God does solve my problem. I'm lonely. I see that you too are lonely. I remind you that God is always with you. I then believe that God is always with me. You're no longer lonely. And I am no longer lonely. I do not know the answer. I see that you have a question and you do not know the answer. I remind you that God gives the answers. Christ is the answer. I then believe that Christ is my answer. Christ answers your question and Christ answers my question. I think God has mistreated me. I notice that you too think God has mistreated you. I come and try to argue on behalf of God and plead His case. I remind you how good God is. I remind you God makes no mistakes. I remind you God has not mistreated you, and I am convinced that God has not mistreated me. So you go away rejoicing in Romans 8:28, and I go away rejoicing in Romans 8:28. Why? Because I told you it gave you strength, but it also gave me strength. I think God has forgotten me. I notice that you too think God has forgotten you. I remind you that God is always with you. And God is always mindful of you. Then I believe that God is mindful of me and always with me. So you realize that God has not forgotten you, and then I realize that God has not forgotten me. Hold it. I doubt my salvation. I notice you doubt yours too. I take my Bible and show you scriptures that will assure you that you're saved. You're assured of your salvation, and I'm assured of mine. I'm discouraged. I notice that you too are discouraged. I remind you that God will encourage you. I believe God will encourage me. You become encouraged, and I become encouraged. Did it ever dawn on you? Did this ever dawn on you? You've got somebody every week to stand up here and encourage you. Did it ever dawn on you? Every Sunday morning, I stand up here and I remind you, God gives strength, and God gives courage, and God answers prayer, and God is good. Did it ever dawn on you, I don't have anybody like that? Did it ever dawn on you, I don't go to anywhere to church every Sunday morning and Sunday night and have somebody stand up and encourage me and cheer me? Did it ever dawn on you about that? Did it ever dawn on you, I had no pastor come to me when my mother died? Did it ever dawn on you, I didn't sit with a family and some preacher encouraged my heart when I buried my mama? Did it ever dawn on you that? Well, you say, where do you get your strength? I get my strength by seeing people who have the same weakness I have, and I tell them God is strong, and I believe Him. I get my strength, my assurance by seeing people who have the same doubts that I have, and I get the book out and remind them that God gives assurance, and God is assurance. And I convince you, and I convince myself. I'm tempted. I notice that you too are tempted. I remind you that God will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, and will also with the temptation make a way to escape. I remind myself by reminding you that I too can find a way to escape and cannot be tested or tempted above that I'm able to bear it, but God will make a way for me to escape, and you are delivered from temptation, and I am delivered from temptation. That's why we say, let's talk about Jesus. Listen, the reason you have your doubt, you don't talk enough about assurance. The reason you're weak is you don't talk enough about God's strength. You find whatever your problem is. Now listen to me, this will change your life. You find whatever your problem is, and you find somebody else that has the exact same problem, and you flee to the Scriptures and take the Scriptures to them and tell them that Christ is the answer for their problem, and by your telling them, you'll believe that Christ is the answer for your problem. That's what the psalmist is doing here. I know it's true, but I need to be reminded. There's no one to remind me. So I remind you. And in reminding you, I remind myself. And you don't have to wander with doubts. You don't have to wander in weakness. You don't have to wander yielding to temptation. You don't have to wander with loneliness. You don't have to. All you've got to do, ladies, is this one little statement could transform your life. If you, whatever your need is, you look for somebody till you find them who has the exact same need that you have, and you get this book and you go to them and show them that their need can be supplied by God, who said, my God supplies all of my need. You convince them that their need can be met by Jehovah God. And by your convincing them, you will convince yourself. I know it's true. I need to be reminded. But there's no one to remind me. So I remind you. And when I hear myself remind you, I'm also reminding myself. It's sort of a little internal alarm clock, folks. You set it, and it goes off when you tell somebody else the answer to your problem. You say, preacher, hold it. Do you mean all these 25 years you've been walking on a platform not believing what you preach? I believe with all my heart. I believe everything I've preached 25 years. But I'll guarantee you one thing. When I preach on the goodness of God, I believe that God is better when I get through than before I started. When I preach on the faithfulness of God, to me, my God is more faithful at 12 o'clock than He is at 11:30. When I preach on the comfort of the Holy Spirit, I believe it more when I get through when I started. If you really want to get an old-fashioned dose, that's what, of Christianity. Talk about it. That's why Jesus didn't want you to wait and you get sanctified to go soul winning. Go soul winning as soon as you get saved. Because you'll be strengthened in your faith by talking of your faith. Let me at those Germans. I want to kill them all. That's what we said. Well, if I'd have seen a squint-eyed Filipino back there in those days, I'd have shot him. Why? When I went in the army, I couldn't shoot a BB gun real well. They shoot more. And we got to talking about it, and we had those parades. Dun, dun, dun. Boy, hey, son, go rolling along. Dun, 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 dun. We'd sing that stuff, hum that stuff. Man, I want to see blood, German blood. Not now, but then, as we're fighting the Germans. I want to see Japanese blood. You know why? Because singing it built my courage. And brother, I wasn't scared of anybody. You know why? Because I'd been singing it. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He. The Lord. If you don't love Christ like you ought to love Him, you just go to somebody else that doesn't love Him like you ought to love Him and convince them how He ought to be loved. And you'll be shouting before you get through. But see, what you want, you say, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm not going to say what I don't believe. Now, wait a minute. You believe it some, and then you tell it, and then you believe it a lot, and then you yell it. So what is your problem? What is your problem? Find someone who has the same one. Tell him the solution. And as you tell it, you will believe it more. And your faith will be encouraged. And as you encourage him, you encourage yourself. You heard the story. You've heard it. Fellow ran out of gas in the desert. It was 10 miles to the nearest gas station. There wasn't another one within 50 miles. He takes the can out of the back end of his car and walks 10 miles. While he's walking 10 miles, he starts talking to himself. He says, I know what's going to happen. That guy knows it's 50 miles on to the next one. He knows I'm out of gas. He knows that I've got this can to get the gas and take it back to my car to walk him 10 miles. He knows that he's the only service station within 50 miles. He knows that. And he'll charge me 10 times as much as the gas ordinarily to charge. And he'll get soaked me for everything I've got because he knows I'm the only chance he's got. Talked about it all the way. When he got to the service station, he punched the guy in the nose and said, you dirty cheat, I wouldn't buy a thing from you. He talked himself into it. I believe every word in this Bible is true. But there are some times when I need to be reminded it's true. But I have no preacher to remind me. So I remind you. And I remind you, it's truer and sweeter, and Jesus is more real. Wait a minute. The psalmist David wrote our text this morning. It was a man chosen by God to write most of the Psalms and much of the Old Testament, and a man after God's own heart. When David was discouraged, he sang of the encouragement of God. If somebody was discouraged, and he became encouraged. When David was lonely, he sang to somebody who was lonely of God's fellowship, and he was no longer lonely. When David had some doubts, he sang of assurance, and David to someone who had some doubts. I'm not talking about if you haven't got it. I believe this book is the Word of God and every word about it. I believe all of it. Now, experimentally, I need to be reminded of the goodness of my God. Now, my sister and I met 9 o'clock, was it? 9 o'clock? I think it was before the funeral here in the altar. Anyway, I didn't know how in the world I can stand up here for a house full of people and talk for 35, 40 minutes about my mama when her body's right here. I didn't know I could do it. But thank God in His providential plan, He allowed one of our dear ladies who was going to go to heaven before have a funeral service before Mother's. And her husband sat here. And I reminded him, God is able. And God is good. And God can give strength. And when the funeral service was over of Mrs. Sensible, I had received enough strength to preach my mother's funeral. That's why God wants you to tell it. Don't ever let God do anything good for you that you don't tell. Tell it. Tell it. It'll get more wonderful as you tell it. Jim Lyons used to say to me, and I close with this, he's my assistant pastor for years. He said, "Preacher, you always make things better than they are when you preach." Just before he left the church here to go into evangelism, he came one day and said, "Preacher, I want to apologize to you." He said, "When you tell stuff," he said, "you don't play it up. I thought you did." He said, "You just don't play it down." He said, "The rest of the world plays it down." He said, "Preacher, salvation is as wonderful as you say it is. And God is as precious as you say He is. And He is. And you know He is. But you'll believe it more if you tell it." That's why the Scripture says, "Show and tell what great things the Lord thy God hath done for thee." In the last 27 or 8 minutes, you have heard me speak about something that if you would let it, it'll change your life. It'll give you faith, strength, and courage, joy, and fellowship. It'll dispel your doubts and your loneliness. Doubt? Tell it. Believe? Yell it! And in so doing, God will give you the strength that you need because you told somebody else that God would give them the strength that they need. I want to preach all day, but I won't. You think I am, but I'm not. Do you know how most people who have serious illness looked out this morning? Somewhere I saw the Porter girl out here this morning. Look, please listen to me just for a second. I promise you I'll be finished. But I want you to hear this. Do you know how that little Porter girl, not little girl, teenage girl, you know how she, when she thought she was going to lose her sight, her vision. Do you know how she got strong? Because everybody went to see her. She told them God was going to take care of her. And when she told the first person, she believed it some. When she told the second person, she believed it more. The time she had told several people, she could say, "Not I shall not greatly be hurt." But then she could say, "I shall not be hurt." And that's why many a person who's sick, seriously on the bed of illness, gets strength. Because everybody comes by, they say, "God's able. God's able. God's able. God's able. God's able. God's able. God's able. God is able." Our Father teaches us.